Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
We do reach an important milestone in our Romans series, which began 3 years ago, Romans chapter 11. And Romans 11 is important because it finishes a very long section of doctrine. From next week, we'll see that the chapters start to get far much more practical, which is the way the Apostle Paul wrote all his letters. The beginning, doctrine, and then finishes off with how to live out that doctrine. And so Romans chapters 1 through 11, doctrine. Romans 12 through 16, application. But chapter 11 is also the culmination of Romans 9, 10, and 11. Those three chapters deal with the very important question of Israel's rejection of Jesus. Now, Israel's rejection of Jesus is a huge issue because 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus, God chose Abraham. God elected Abraham. And God declared that through Abraham's descendants, God would bring his blessing to the world. So, Israel's execution and rejection of Jesus, while the other nations, which the Bible calls the Gentiles, most of us are not Jews or Israel by birth. Most of us are what the Bible would call Gentiles. We're from all the other nations. Israel's execution and rejection of Jesus and the Gentile receiving of Jesus should make us scratch our heads. Did God know what he was doing? Today we're going to learn that Israel's rejection of Jesus and the Gentile receiving of Jesus is actually God's plan to save Israel. Here's how we're going to break down Romans chapter 11 this morning. Firstly, we're going to look at two questions. You might have heard them as Miranda read the Bible verses. So two questions. Then we're going to hear God reveal this mystery. The mystery is going to be solved. And then we're going to finish on a high. Mercy for all. That's where we're headed. Two questions. Mystery solved. Mercy for all. And so, firstly, to the two questions. Romans 11, verse 1. We see the first question. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. God never rejected Israel. Even in the darkest moments of Israel's rebellion, God always had a remnant, a few Israelites that were his children. The next few verses, you might remember as Miranda read them, go on to tell the story about Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God's people 900 years before Jesus. And Elijah had a bit of a hissy fit, a bit of a meltdown. God, I'm the only true worshipper of you and the whole planet. God says to Elijah, get over yourself. I've got 7,000 others. And Paul uses that Elijah story, that the remnant story, to remind his day, God has always had a remnant. In the same way you and I, as we think about Israel today, why won't they accept the Messiah? God's answer to us is, I've still got a remnant. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he was a Jew, converted to Christ. You probably know some Jewish friends that followed Jesus. So has God rejected Israel? No. God has always had a remnant. Question number two, we see it there in verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? Remember from chapter 9, verse 33, Israel stumbled over Jesus. They haven't received him. And so the question is, well, have they fallen? Has Israel completely forever just walked away from the Messiah? And chapter 11 goes on to give us a very helpful picture to answer that question. So jump down to verse 17 with me. But if some of the branches were broken off, so if some of the Israelites have walked away from the Messiah, and you Gentiles, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you'll say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you are cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back in to their own olive tree? Here's what makes that olive tree image so helpful. There is only one true olive tree. 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus, God elected Abraham. Abraham was from a pagan family. God's election of Abraham was grace, grace, grace. Now, the descendants of Abraham, they're the nation of Israel. Israel is the true root. And then throughout history, which includes you and I, God has grafted in wild. Did you like the way Romans 11 calls this? Unnatural branches into the true root. And again, it is grace, grace, grace. God's story is the story of grace, grace, grace. We should look around the room and go, wow, look at all the stories of grace. Can you believe it? God saved him. You are allowed to laugh at that point. But it's so true. We should look around the room and go, wow, look at all of God's grace. But we don't, do we? We look around the room and we sometimes think, well, I'm doing this whole Christian faith a bit better than that lot over there. Or we beat ourselves up. I'm never going to be able to live and be a Christian like them. Now we're going to come back to this point at the end of the sermon. But really, God's grace is supposed to make us forget about ourselves. And look at what God has been doing for thousands of years. Grace, grace, grace. But to wrap this section up, question one, did God reject Israel? No, by no means. God always has a remnant. Question number two, has Israel so stumbled that none of them are ever going to follow the Messiah? No. God is doing something. Israel is still the true root. And he is saving Gentiles in this season in order to make Israel jealous so that they too might become grafted back in to the original olive tree. We're now ready to deal with the mystery of all of this. And so to our second heading, mystery solved. Romans 11, verse 25. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers, sisters. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and in this way, all Israel will be saved. That is a summary of Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. These chapters address the catastrophic problem of Israel rejecting their Messiah. And what we learn from Romans 9 to 11 is that what appears to be a catastrophic failure is actually part of God's plan. That's why verse 25 uses mystery. In the Old Testament and in the early part of the New Testament, what God was up to with Israel was a mystery, but now we know what that mystery is. First part of the mystery, a partial hardening has come upon Israel. And this partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. And in this way, in this hardening of Israel and in this grafting in of the Gentiles, in this way, all Israel will be saved. Now, some Christians get really worked up over that last bit. All Israel will be saved. Perhaps you've heard of the Christian Zionist movement, and there's others like it. They assume that our Christian efforts should be poured into helping Israel reclaim Jerusalem, helping Israel rebuild that temple in Jerusalem. And we should pour our efforts. Oh, and Jerusalem in the Old Testament is often called Zion. Christian Zionism, that Zion, Jerusalem, this focus on Jerusalem temple. And the reason why we should do that is so that Jesus will come back. Christian Zionism, I encourage you not to get caught up in it. It misreads the Bible. It usually ends up creating two people of God, those who come to God through faith in Jesus Christ, and then Israel, who will come to God through Jerusalem and through the temple. And very unhelpful. To understand all Israel will be saved in verse 26, we need to remember the context of 9 to 11, the context of 1 to 11 of Romans. Why? Just the context of the whole of God's story. God begins with Abraham and starts a Jewish nation as his chosen people, as his elect. The Jewish nation, in large measure, rejects, rebels, they fall away. The olive tree that God had cultivated becomes rotten, and many branches God cuts off. But then God also grafts in Gentile branches into the true root of Israel. Now, when the last wild olive branch is grafted in, God is going to do something again with Israel. That's what Romans 11 is telling us. Here's what we can be sure of from Romans 9:11. Here's what we can be certain on. God has not rejected Israel. Israel's rejection of Jesus is part of God's plan for Israel. God's plan of salvation, it began with Israel, now includes a season of focus on the Gentiles in order to make Israel jealous so that God will graft some more Israelites in. Now, here's what I reckon we cannot be sure and certain of from Romans 9 to 11 or from the rest of the Bible. Exactly when is this time when the fullness of the Gentiles will happen? And what exactly will this more coming in of the Jews look like as well? I reckon the when question is the easiest one for us to deal with. Jesus told us how to deal with it. Do not speculate on the day of my return. Jesus flat out tells us, don't put a date on it. Just be ready today. Jesus might come back today. It might be in 10 years. Some of you won't like what I'm about to say. It might be in 1,000 years. You know, every generation of Christians has thought, it's going to be very soon. There's a goodness to that. If the goodness is coming from, Jesus told me, be like those five virgins that are ready today. Okay, so the when one's easy to deal with. But the what one? So this fullness of the Gentiles coming in and then God is going to bring in some more Jews. That one's a bit more tricky, I think. Firstly, all Israel will be saved does not say every Israelite will be saved. We've been told over and over in the immediate context that many Jews have rejected Jesus and so that they're not saved. All Israel does not mean every Israelite. I think all Israel is meant to be, actually in verse 26, is meant to be put alongside the fullness of the Gentiles in verse 25. God has his elect Gentiles, and when the fullness has been reached, Jesus is going to come back. God also has his elect in Israel, and when all Israel, when all the elect are saved, Jesus is coming back. Now, does that mean that when all the Gentiles have been grafted in, there is going to be this big day when lots and lots and lots of more Israelites are going to come in? Or does all Israel just mean from the moment people like Paul were converted, they're part of all of Israel? I've wavered over this, but working through Romans chapter 11 this time, I think there is a timing issue going on. That there is going to come a day when the last Gentile is saved, and then some more Jews are going to be saved. I think there is a timing issue of what's going on in Romans 11. But I do not think that means we got to get caught up in rebuilding the temple and rebuilding Jerusalem. I think all it's saying is, get on with telling everyone about Jesus. Because rather than focus on Jerusalem, focus on Jesus. What we clearly know is that people are saved by putting their faith in Jesus Christ, Jew or Gentile. And so let's just start telling everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ and let God deal with how this end stuff is all going to wrap itself up. The teaching of Romans 9 to 11 is clear. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Keep preaching Jesus. As God saves Gentiles, someday, maybe today, Jesus is going to come back. And Gentiles, Jews are also going to be saved. Don't get caught up in Jerusalem. Get caught up in Jesus. Okay. I've been hanging to get to these final verses of Romans 11. And so here we're turning to our final heading, mercy for all. You see, they're not only the final verses that round out Romans 9 to 11, they're the final verses that round out chapters 1 to 11. And so I'm going to give us a bit of an overview of 1 to 11. We can all agree that the world is a mess, yeah? And don't have to panic, we're not being judgy. The world's always been a mess since Adam and Eve. Romans 1 to 3 tells us why humanity is a mess. We exchanged the glory of God for the glory of creation. And that rebellion leaves us with broken relationships. We have a broken relationship with our Creator. We have a broken relationship with each other. We have a broken relationship with the world. Romans 8 tells us that creation is groaning because of our rebellion. We have an example of that this week, don't we? The floods. Now, as Christians, we should be the least surprised at all the bad news. at the catastrophes, at the toxic socials. Our world is messed up because of our rebellion against our loving Creator. The world is not right because we are not right with God. And once we recognize that reality, it also becomes clear that God would have been perfectly justified to walk away from us, to wipe us out, to start all over again. But the Bible tells a different story. God walks toward us. Have a look at the last verse in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 verse 21. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Brother, sister, that is the picture of God you must have in order to survive in this messed up world. No matter what your earthly father was like, no matter how much you have suffered at the hands of those who are supposed to care for you, no matter how much you have messed up, no matter how disappointed you are in yourself, our God stands all day long with arms outstretched and says, come to me. Let's look at Romans 11:30. And to understand these couple of verses, the you is Gentile readers, the they is Israel. Romans 11 verse 30. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. Remember, these verses, we're at a summary. It's a summary of Romans 1 to 11. And so those couple of verses are rich in meaning. Yes, this world is a mess. There is evil you and I, we don't even want to think about. Yes, we even let ourselves down. But don't you lose hope. God never, not even for a millisecond, has turned a blind eye to all that is wrong in this world. We're told in Romans chapter 3 that God punished Jesus on the cross for our sins so that God could be both just. God doesn't turn a blind eye to our sin, and the one who justifies. On the one hand, God is terrifying. He will not turn a blind eye to our rebellion. And if this is the first time you are thinking deeply about God's justice, about God's holiness, about God's jealousy for what is right and true and good, listen in. We do not want a world, let alone an eternity, where God turns a blind eye to justice, to our sin. God's wrath goes hand in glove with God's love. God's anger at our sin is not an enemy of God's love. Any love that turns a blind eye to rebellion is a cheap love. And so put yourself into the story of Romans 1 to 11. There you are, standing before a holy God. If your only hope is offering to God the good things you have done, you're toast. You might fool yourself for a little while, you know, compare yourself to other people, but eventually you've got to come to terms with, what if I haven't done enough? And the good news of Jesus Christ is, you haven't done enough. You could never do enough. But Jesus has. And it's all on offer because of God's mercy. You see, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God declares, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. It's mercy, mercy, mercy. That's Romans 1 to 11. The most important essay ever written on the plight of humanity is Romans 1 to 11. And it all culminates on the mercy of God. It's a mercy for all. Jew, Gentile, male, female, child, adult, rich, poor. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. No one deserves it. It's all mercy. My grandmother is one of my heroes. I fondly remember how she's now with the Lord. I fondly remember how she had this real thing about, you know, the question, how are you? We all ask each other the question, don't we? And her issue with it is because the social etiquette is you're just supposed to be quick. And you're really just supposed to say fine because no one else wants to hear your problems. I wish I could go back in time because I've got a quick response now to that question, how are you? I wish I could go back and give it to my grandmother. So why don't you ask me, Steve, how are you? Better than I deserve. So much better than I deserve. I know Jesus. Better yet, Jesus knows me and he has saved me. I am better than I deserve. And it's so good. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you, we praise you, that you alone are the God Almighty who saves. You are worthy of all praise because you are the merciful God. And so we pray that you would help us all walk out of here ready to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.